Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Amen.
Amen. Well, this morning I want to talk about something that we know as, we talk about it a lot, we've said it a lot, we say the phrase a lot. I want to talk about what is known as the call of God on our lives. Now, before we dive into that conversation for a moment, I just want to share just a couple of examples of perhaps some other kinds of calls that we may receive in our lifetime. We've heard the phrase, call up to the big leagues, right? A minor league baseball player who is working hard at developing his game, and finally that one day he finally gets the call up to the big show, to the big leagues. And when he does, his life changes forever. His family's life changes forever, right? Maybe we are in the middle of applying for a grant of some type or a loan of some type, and we're waiting for that call to see if it's been approved. Maybe we go into a job interview, and it's a really big opportunity for us, and we're really hoping and praying that we can get this job, and we are waiting for the call to see if we have gotten that job. Maybe you're a college student or you're a high school student, you're applying to go to college, and you're waiting for that letter of approval to get the call. When we think about this idea of the call, we think about what it means to be called into something. And on the other side of that call is opportunity. What it means for us in our lives, it means being accepted. It means being approved for something. And given access to something bigger and better in our lives. And today I want to talk about a call that each one of us have. If you are a Christian today, that dwarfs any of those examples I just gave. The call that God has on our lives as a Christian, if we believe in Jesus Christ, if we profess that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior, and we've placed our faith and trust in the Lord, there is a call from God on your life and my life that is way bigger and way more eternal and way more important than any of those examples. When we talk about the call of God, it can bring up questions, can't it? Like this. What does it mean to be called by God? What does God call people to do? Who does God call? Do only ministers get the call of God? There's some that think that. Or is every Christian called by God? How does the call of God work in my life? I mean, does He send a letter in the mail? Does He send you a confirmation email saying you've been called? Does He call you on the telephone? Obviously not, right? It'd be a lot easier if it was that way, wouldn't it? Does He write words in the clouds for you to look up and see your call? No, He doesn't do that. But I think it's very important for us to understand this morning that God doesn't just call ministers, He doesn't just call pastors, He doesn't just call missionaries to be messengers for Him. He calls every single Christian to be messengers and to live out the gospel message in their lives. Do you believe that? When we talk about the call of God in our lives, there's really two levels to it. There's the general call that all of us share together. That general call of God in our lives as a Christian is for us to follow Jesus with all of our heart and with all of our life. But then there's the second level to that. There's what is known as the vocational call. The vocational call isn't necessarily what you do for a living. The vocational call is specific to you as a person. But it's more about who you are in your time and place. And so all of us are sharing in the general call, that is to follow follow Jesus with our whole heart and life. But then each one of us have what is known as the vocational call. And the vocational call is specific to your life. It's specific to who you are. It's specific to the person you are and the time and place in which you live. Now, for some, it could involve a platform and a microphone. But for most, the call of God on our lives is fulfilled through the social relationships, the cultural relationships, and the family relationships. And within that fabric, the call of God in our lives is lived out. To be witnesses in the wildernesses. To be witnesses of God's purpose in this world, of God's identity in this world, of God's reality in this world. And so as we understand that, no task, no role, no position, no thing that we do within the call of God in our lives is meaningless or worthless or ordinary. Do you believe that this morning? Listen to what Martin Luther says. Martin Luther is quoted as saying, when parenthood is understood as a Christian calling and vocation, even changing diapers is done for the glory of God. Now, if you're a parent who's ever had babies, or if you're a parent who has a baby now, you're probably not thinking that changing the diaper has anything to do with the call of God in your life. But it does. Even changing a diaper will bring glory to God. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, even changing diapers, I just added that part. Do it all. Do it all for the glory of God. So I'm going to talk about the call of God today. I want to invite us to our scripture this morning, found in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. So we're going to read Jeremiah, the opening of the prophetic book, one of the major prophetic books in the Old Testament. And we're going to be reading verses 4 through 10. And in this passage, Jeremiah is giving us a first-hand account of the call of God on his life to be a prophet, to be a messenger. And if you're familiar with Jeremiah's story, you know that his story, his legacy, his life accomplished amazing things for God. But this is how it all began, in verses 4 through 10. Jeremiah gives us the description of how God calls him. Verse 4. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, and this is now Jeremiah speaking of himself. Then I said, ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak. Is that something familiar? Someone else by the name of Moses gave that excuse, didn't he? Truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a boy. For you shall go to all whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. So that's the description Jeremiah gives of his call from God on his life. Now as we look at this, I want to look at three things today. If you're taking notes, there's three big things I want you to write down. There's a note section in the back of the bulletin if you want to take notes. But if you would look at this passage, look at three things. The first thing we're going to be looking at is God designing the called.
The second thing we're looking at is God delivering the called. And the third thing is God directing the called. Now, notice I didn't say the call, C-A-L-L. I said the called, C-A-L-L-E-D. And what that means is God, in the call of our lives, designing us for the call, delivering us to the call, and directing us for the call. And so those are the big three things we're looking at this morning. And I first want to look at verses 4 and 5, where God designed us for the call. Now this is a moment where I want to go to Psalm 139, verses 1 through 16. It's a passage that the Lord laid on my heart this week as I went to visit someone. And it's a passage I want to share that echoes what Jeremiah said. Says this, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You searched out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high and I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The light is as bright as the day. The darkness is as light to you. Here it is. For it was you who formed my inward parts, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them has yet existed. Now, what does that say to us this morning? That says that we serve a God who knew us before we even existed, who had a call on our life before we were even born. He formed us. He designed us. He created us to live a life following his call. And yes, your life did not begin when you were born. Your life began when you were conceived. So I just want to take a moment to say that. That's what we believe. Life begins at conception. Amen? It's important that we reiterate that in these times. God has been preparing us not just since we were born, but since we were conceived. The call on your life, the call on my life, He designed us for this call, not after we were born, but at conception. He begins to form us and design us and create us for the life that He has for us to live. Every single one of us. And when it comes to our call, when it comes to the plans that God has for us, we didn't choose Him. He chose us. That's why Jesus says in John 15, 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. So within this intricate design, He created us to live out this answer to His grace and to His love and to His will and call for you and me. Now, this doesn't happen overnight, right? We first have to place our faith in Christ to begin that journey in salvation. And it doesn't happen overnight. It isn't like we just wake up one day and all of a sudden we are called and ready and equipped and doing everything God's called us to do. It happens over time. It happens in process. The equipping that happens in our life begins at conception, but it continues to happen throughout our life, through experience, through sometimes mistakes, sometimes consequences, highs and lows that we experience in our lives, God uses those to teach us and to form us and to shape us in this calling He has. And it takes time. All of us are a work in progress. If you're not a work in progress, come let me know after church. I'll be glad to hear how you're not a work in progress. All of us are a work in progress, continuing to being shaped and formed in Christ's image. Paul says in Philippians 1:6, I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. So when we answer the call of God in our lives, He doesn't just leave us there. He doesn't just send us off. He guides us. He's with us wherever we go. Which brings us into the next part of this, the second part, God delivering the called. We talked about the design, God designing the called. But He doesn't just design us for the call and then just leave us be. He delivers us into the call. And this is where we look at in verses 6 through 8. Jeremiah is resisting the call, even in the face of resistance. God is responding to Jeremiah's resistance. As Jeremiah reminds God of his inability, God reminds Jeremiah of his ability. You see, when God calls us, we can either believe in His ability or we can belittle ours. We can focus on our inadequacies, our weaknesses, our excuses, our reasons for why we can't answer God's call, or we can focus on His power, His ability, and His awesome divine nature that is able to do it in us and through us. So that's the choice we have. We can focus on our inability, or we can focus on His ability. For Jeremiah, he was saying, I don't know how to speak. I'm only a boy. And every one of us can fill in the blank for whatever it is. It may not be a boy. Well, what is your I'm only? I'm only a young person. I'm only someone who has to walk with a cane. I'm only someone who is not good with kids. I'm only a single mom. I'm only a single dad. Whatever the excuse is, whatever that blank is, fill in the blank. Those reasons or those excuses that we have that keeps us from answering God's call in our life. We can focus on that inability or we can focus on His ability. Think about this for a moment. As God has created you, as God has designed you to answer His call, if we say no, if we say, I am unable to follow God's call on my life, what we are really telling God is that He is an inadequate creator. That's what we're doing. When we say, I can't, I'm not able to carry out the calling that you've called me to, what we're saying is, God has not created us good enough. He has not designed us well enough to do what He's asked us to do. And I don't know about you, but I'm not about to tell God that He's not a good creator. Because He has created each one of us. And as far as I can tell, He's an amazing creator. Verse 8, God says in the face of excuses, do not be afraid, for I am with you. You see, we can have our reasons, we can have our excuses, but in the face of our reasons, in the face of our excuses, God comes back and refocuses our attention to His ability and to His power and to the promise of His presence. And this is not just the only time we see this in Scripture, is it? We see it throughout all of Scripture. We see Jesus, before He ascends, promise the disciples His presence. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. And in Jeremiah's situation, in his calling moment, God reissues the Bible's most frequent command. Did you know that the most frequent command in all of the Bible is two words? fear not. Fear not. Our fears that overwhelm us need to be overwhelmed by bigger and better things. Your fears that overwhelm you, that keep you from following God's call in your life, they need to be overwhelmed with God's purpose and God's call and God's design for you. They need to be overwhelmed by your faith in the God who created you. Amen? A few months ago, a friend of ours named Laura Hubbard had been battling lung cancer. In fact, her and Melanie bonded over this journey together as they kind of both had lung cancer together. And unfortunately, Laura Hubbard, she was one of the parents of one of our Royals players, one of our families in the Royals program. And her and her family attended a Long Hollow Baptist Church. And she was very well known, very well loved. She was one of those people that just was always encouraging others. She just, the light of Jesus shined through her life. The love of Christ shined through her. And when she came down with this diagnosis of small cell lung cancer, which is a more aggressive kind than Melanie has, they walked through this together. And even when she was in the thick of it, when she was feeling sick, when she was going through the trenches and the worst parts of her treatment, she would always encourage Melanie. She would uplift Melanie. She would bring hope for Melanie. And in the times and those weeks that were very scary for us, when we were uncertain of what was going to happen and how this was all going to work. And a few months ago, Laura was in the hospital and she was there. And the stories go on and on about how when people came in, she would always be so upbeat and so encouraging to the staff and to the nurses and the doctors that came through. And they would always marvel at her ability to uplift others, to lift others up, to bring joy to others, even when she's going through the pain and suffering herself. And this is what she said every time. It isn't me. It's Jesus. It isn't me. It's Jesus. And a few months ago, she lost her battle with cancer and she passed away. And at the funeral of over 500 people there, so the stories upon stories of Laura's life and Laura's testimony and witness for Christ said this one message loud and clear: it wasn't her, it was Jesus. You see, when we think of how God calls you and me in our lives, sometimes He calls us into something. Sometimes He allows something to happen to us. It may not be very pleasant. It may be something that causes us fear. It may be something that causes us pain. But in that calling, there is something bigger and better on the other side. And for Laura, it was eternity in heaven with Christ. We often say when we hear the word deliver, God gives Jeremiah the promise of delivering him. And we often think about this idea of deliverance as God delivering us from something. Whether He delivers us from temptation, or delivers us from sin, or delivers us from the past, or delivers us from addiction, or delivers us from sickness. He often delivers us from something, but we often need to remember, and in this case, He says, I'm going to deliver you. We need to remember that God delivers us to something as well. He doesn't just deliver us from, He also delivers us to our calling, to what He has in store. And in that delivering, we kind of draw our time to a close here with the third thing we're going to focus on, and that is the directing of the called. The directing of the called. As He's designed the called, He's designed us for the calling, He's delivering us from the past and to the calling, and now he's directing us. He's giving us direction in this calling. When God delivers us from our old life and from sin and bondage that we once knew, the new life he's called us to, he doesn't just send us on our way. He gives us direction in that calling. For Jeremiah, this was Jeremiah's direction, which echoes the direction of the church in general, of all Christians in general, not only personally, but collectively. Jeremiah's message in verse 10, to paraphrase, basically, it is a message, the direction of his calling is to basically undo and then redo. There's an undoing and then there's a redoing. There's a plucking up and then a planting. There's a breaking down and then there's a building up. And this is exactly what Jesus did in his ministry, isn't it? Jesus came to earth and he deconstructed all of the old ways of thinking. He deconstructed the established ways of knowing God. He reintroduced humanity to God. He took down, deconstructed their ways of understanding who God was, and gave them a whole new way of knowing God. That's what Jesus' ministry was about. And many came to believe. But before they came to believe in who Jesus Christ was, they had to shed their old life. They had to shed their old ways of thinking. They had to shed their old understandings that they had grown up with, that they had been surrounded by. In other words, there was a falling before there was a rising. Simeon's prophecy in Luke 2, verse 34, is beautiful because Simeon says, "For the child," as he's holding the baby Jesus in the temple, "for the child is set for the falling and the rising of many in Israel." Isn't that beautiful? Christ himself was crucified and killed before he was able to rise again. And in the crucifixion and death of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ, we who are followers of Jesus also must too fall before we can rise. You see, in this world, kingdoms rise then fall. But in the kingdom of God, we first must fall, and then we rise. And so that is the direction of our calling, to die to ourself. As Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." Paraphrase, it isn't me, it's Jesus. Now some of us have too many moments where we need to say, "It isn't Jesus, it's me." But we're called into the life that says, "It isn't me, it's Jesus. It isn't my power, it's Jesus' power. It isn't my calling, it's Christ's calling on my life." And so in this calling of God, as we draw a time to a close, I want to invite you to stand as we are about to pray. And in this calling of God, I want us just to remember this. The call of God on your life. Now, I'm not talking about the general call, the call that all of us had to follow Jesus. I'm talking about this vocational call. Your person, where you live, and who you are in your time and place. As we think about this call of God on our lives, it is an invitation to the greatest life you could ever live. And our challenge, our obstacle, is to believe that. Right? If we truly believe that the greatest life that we could ever have is to follow Jesus with all of ourselves and to follow into the calling He has in our lives. If we truly believe that, wouldn't it be much easier? And that's the obstacle, is to believe that, to have faith, to follow the call of God. You see, that greatest life, it's not the world standard. The world would not believe that. The world standards is that no, this is not the greatest life for you. The greatest life for you is to self-actualize, is to earn the most and experience the most you can. But the greatest life that we could ever live is to follow the design of our Creator, who created us before we were born and fashioned and formed us for this calling and this life that He has. Our challenge today is to take that step of faith and believe it, as He has designed us for it, He is delivering us from and to it, and He is directing us towards it. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank You for this word You've given us today. Father, as we draw our time to a close, we pray that You would help us to take the step of faith. I just want to lift up anyone here that perhaps has been unwilling to follow the call of God in their life, whatever that looks like, their vocational call. Maybe it means to be a better Christian parent. Maybe it means to be a better witness in the workplace. Maybe it means to take a new assignment. Maybe it means to serve in a ministry here at the church. Maybe it means to reach out to a neighbor. Maybe it means to reconcile a broken relationship. Whatever that call is in our season of life, help us, Lord, to have the faith to believe that this life that is Your calling on our lives is the greatest life we could ever live. Help us to remember the promise You gave Jeremiah and the promise You gave to all Christians, that You are with us. And because You are with us, we are not to be afraid. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your love. And we thank You for Your presence in this calling. In Jesus' name we pray.